From the shadows of the radio towers, this is the Gay PHX Podcast. Your community radio on demand.
It's gonna be a good day. And everything is going to go my way. It's gonna be a good day. The sun is shining bright and it's here to stay.
Welcome, I'm Billy Foster, and this is the Gay PHX Podcast, and I'm really glad you're here. If you're new to this, Gay PHX is built by the community, for the community, but never limited to the community. We exist to connect people, amplify local voices, and shine a light on what's happening in our city and beyond, especially the things that mainstream media doesn't bother covering unless something goes wrong. And whether you found us through the podcast or through the station, we're grateful that you're listening. Gay PHX streams 24/7, streaming you music from the community, interviews, conversations, and voices you won't hear anywhere else. You can listen anytime at TuneIn, Radio Garden, MyTuner, and now Radio.net, or stream us directly at GayPHX.com. At home, in the car, or running in the background while you go about your day. This week, we want to take a moment and talk about something really important. Many of us are still processing the loss of Renee Good. There's been a lot of noise online, a lot of misinformation, and far too many people speaking about her without ever knowing her. Renee was a person. She was a part of our community. We won't allow her story to be reduced to outrage or erased by disinformation. Moments like this are exactly why connection matters, why knowing each other, seeing each other, and showing up for each other is how we move forward. That's also why GayPHX.com exists. It's where you'll find local events, community gatherings, and ways to connect, whether loud and proud or someone who needs a softer, safer entry point into the community. The whole project started as an events list, and that mission still sits at the heart of everything that we do. Before we get into today's conversation, I want to share something that we're genuinely excited about. Our guest today is Sam, the voice behind Growing Older Gay, and now you'll be able to hear a brand new episode of Growing Older Gay every Monday at 10 a.m. on the Gay PHX station. During today's interview, you'll hear us talk about making that happen, the work behind the scenes, and why it matters to create a space for honest conversation about aging, identity, sexuality, recovery, and what it means to keep becoming yourself. But first, let's talk about what's happening around town. Here's Brian with this week's events.
You're listening to Gay PHX, where community comes first.
Hey, 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 welcome back to Brian's Hot 3, where the music is queer, the nightlife is unhinged, and a community is shamelessly horny for connection. It's your new year, same daddy, of course your desert den daddy, reporting from deep inside the valley's winter vortex, where temperatures are brisk, leather is tighter than resolutions, and everyone is quietly pretending they did make out with their accountant on the holiday party. The bars are recovering, the clubs are plotting, and Phoenix is gearing up to prove once again that we do January louder, hotter, and with significantly fewer clothes than the rest of America. This week we're channeling ritual gear worship, storytelling sorcery, and a very adult field trip to Tempe, strictly for men who know the assignment. If you're looking for a safe place to flirt, a curious place to learn, or an unapologetically feral place to explore, Daddy's got the receipts. Let's get into it. Hot pick number one, The Rock at 8 p.m. January 12th. We're kicking things off with straps, boots, and confidence on display. Gear Social starts at 8 p.m., hosted by Justin. A cruisy, leather-forward night where gear gets admired, straps get adjusted, and eye contact does most of the talking. Then at 9, it's Kinkyoki, hosted by Trey. Karaoke with a twist, where the mic becomes foreplay and the audience keeps scores with lingering looks and low judgment. Leather, lyrics, a room that knows how to behave badly, that's how you warm up the week. Hot pick number two, Royal Kitchen and Cocktails, Monday from 6 to 9 p.m. This one's for the storytellers and the ones who want to be dangerous with words. Do Tell is a workshop focused on the craft and personal storytelling, timing, tension, presence, and how to command a room without raising your voice or taking anything off. Led by Christopher Hopper and Carly Davis, this is for anyone who wants to incorporate and captivate an audience at work, on stage, or across a table with someone worth impressing. Class size is limited, confidence is encouraged. If you ever wanted people hanging on your every word, this is how you learn. Hot pick number three, Grit Pop-Up, first of the year. January 18th, it goes from 11 to 3. It's for men only, male identifying. No costumes, no themes, no distraction. Just a focused, intentional pop-up designed to start the year grounded, connected, and unapologetically adult. This is a one-day takeover in Tempe, relaxed, deliberate, and built for men who know exactly why they're there. Fully loaded backyard designed for exploration and connection with 36 lockers available. Bring your own padlock. Attendance is strictly capped at 60 men. First come, first serve. Street legal to the gate. Once you're inside, the rest is between you and consent. More information is available at gritaz.com. Phoenix, that's your Hot 3. Thank you for listening, for sharing, and for letting this little queer signal ripple through your kitchens, cars, bars, earbuds, showers, bathtubs, and bedrooms across the valley. This isn't just nightlife, it's a pulse, a check-in, a reminder that queer joy doesn't evaporate when the calendar flips. Stay curious, stay bold, stay hydrated, and because daddy worries, and stay just dangerous enough to remember you're alive. And before I slip back into the shadows, FYI, guess what's coming next month? I'll give you a clue. The pool becomes a watering hole. The bears become an invasive species. And I'll just stay for one drink becomes a documented lie. If you know, you know. If you don't, well, Palm Springs is about to educate you. It's IBC, the International Bear Convergence. 4 days of pool parties, leather, cocktails, dancing, flirting, and the kind of heat the forecast doesn't warn you all about. All centered at the Host Hotel, Hotel Zozo, Palm Springs. That pool, a full-contact social experiment by noon. That lobby, a runway for towels, harnesses, and confidence. That elevator ride, a roulette wheel of eye contact, wet hair, and decisions you won't unpack until Tuesday. Bears, cubs, chubs, chasers, leather boys, muscle daddies, silver foxes, every flavor of furry and fabulous, packed wall-to-wall like the world's gayest wildlife preserve. Hydrate, pack lights, sleep before you go, and don't make Monday plans unless they involve brunch, electrolytes, and selective memory. Palm Springs is calling, and trust daddy you want to answer. Until next time, coming to you from the shadows of the radio towers, I'm Brian, your Desert Den Daddy, and that's what's hot.
Want all the details? Head over to GabePHX.com, your one-stop shop for queer events, promos, and everything happening in the valley.
This is what community sounds like.
This is Amanda Renfrew, enrolled agent with The Tax Person, with your tax year countdown. If you updated your legal name or gender marker this year, make sure Social Security has the same information. A mismatch triggers refund delays and identity checks. Fix it now, long before filing season. Get support with a free 15-minute consult at thetaxperson.com or look for me as The Tax Person on socials.
More stories, more voices, more pride. You're tuned in to the Gay PHX Podcast.
Today, we're talking about age, honesty, and owning every chapter of queer life. He's the creator of Growing Older Gay, where real conversation replaces filters and getting older becomes something to embrace, not to apologize for. Through his Kitchen Table Talk series, he's created a space for reflection, growth, and community, especially for LGBTQ plus folks who don't always see themselves represented online. Off camera, he also works as a volunteer with Ripple PHX, one of our favorite services out here in Phoenix. Let's welcome to the Rainbow Tinted Microphone, Sam from Growing Older Gay.
Hi there. Hello, hello.
Welcome. Sam, thank you so much for doing this today. I really appreciate it. I know you got a lot going on.
Lovely to be here.
So for listeners meeting you for the first time, how do you describe Sam today?
Boy, Sam today is a mid-50s, starting to age guy who I would say feels pretty young at heart most days. And I just came out about 10 years ago, so I'm in a second childhood as it relates to being out and gay, which has given me a lot of the it's all new to me attitude towards the life and the community and all of the things we do. And I have a number of different bubbles in our local community that I find myself in, that being the leather community, the recovery community, and as you mentioned, I work with Ripple, which is the advocacy for pretty much anything related to having a sex-positive lifestyle, doing it safely, and finding ways to treat some of the different conditions that we find ourselves with. And I'm married. I've got a husband here in town that he lives with me. So we've been together for about 7 years now and just married 2 years ago. And you'll see him with me. If you see me out someplace, you'll usually see us together.
Yeah. It was great to get to hang out with y'all at the Ripple Holiday Party the other day. So that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's our annual. That's the big Christmas party really in town for us. We do a number of other things, but Jeremy and his ride or die, Jason, as he calls him, it's amazing what they do for our community.
And is so over the top professional looking. They are an inspiration. Their Loteria, their gamer night, everything that they do is spot on, polished, looks great, presented well. It just makes us shine. I love it.
It is. I'm really proud to be part of what they do. Even in the small little bit that I do. I test for them twice a month on Gear Night, which is at Anvil on the last Saturday. And then on the second Friday, you'll see me at the Shoot 2 Adult Store over on 7th Avenue, or 6th Avenue technically. And we do testing right there in the store. So somebody coming in to get their lube or poppers for the night can also dash off to the back room with us and see what their status is.
And they can also get a selfie with you anytime because you have a little poster there.
Yes. If you see two guys with a bottle of poppers and lube in front of them next to the check stand, that's myself and Josh, who also works with Ripple. Yeah.
That is so awesome. Now, what moment or realization pushed you to create Growing Older Gay?
I've been a journalist since early 2000s, an automotive journalist. And over those years, I've built the level of tools, the talents, and the infrastructure to create a lot of content. And it's something that I started with a passion back then. I'm a car guy. I love cars. So I started this collection of different websites and channels and ways of doing automotive news content. And I've been doing it in various ways as the media has changed and evolved over the years of the decades. So it's been my career. But in the last half a decade, I've just been getting this, I'm so over it in a way, as far as my enthusiasm and passion for the automobile. It's become a job, which is fine. It's a good job, no complaints. But I've been really asking myself, gosh, there's got to be something more I can do to serve the community and be of service to my fellow man than tell them what the best cars are to buy. And 2 years ago, I was sitting at the International Mr. Leather event in Chicago, which I go to every year. And if you've ever been to one of those big leather contests, if you're really into it and you really listen, the inspiration of community service that comes from the stage of all the different contestants and they share all the different things that they're involved with to serve their community, it just really spoke to me. And so I came back 2 years ago from that event and I had on my vision board a blank YouTube channel and a blank channel of content. I didn't know what it was going to be, but it was something I wanted to do that was not cars. And it's just been that blank on my vision board. And it hit me that day when I got back what it was that I wanted to do. And it's simply the sense, and I'm not the first person that invented this idea or even said this. In fact, I heard this exact sentence on a podcast just last week. Might have even been yours. I don't remember where it was, but somebody said, "We are the first out gay male population that's ever lived." And by that, I mean, we are the first aging gay male population that's ever lived. There's been aging gay males that have lived, but as a large to scale population who's not only out, but we are the ones who survived the HIV crisis, the AIDS crisis. And there's a whole generation of people that would have been older than us that are not there as a result of that. And so we are some of the first wave of growing demographics that are arriving on the scene that are growing old and we're out. And everyone that's growing old faces challenges just in the physical, the mental, and the spiritual loss of friends and loved ones, all the things that happen in life. But in the gay and lesbian and transgender community, we have some very unique things that we have to deal with that are just a little different than maybe what the heteronormative group of people have to deal with. And so I talk to a lot of people in our community that are living these experiences, and I'm living those experiences. As I said, I just came out in the last 10 years, so I'm going through all kinds of extra parts and pieces to that, but also facing the same types of getting through shame, getting through body shame, all those different things that gay men in particular deal with as we, even in our youth that we deal with, but even in older years, we deal with these things and social issues. And so I just thought, there's so many people that not only that I've gone through my own experiences and I have a lot of wealth of learned lessons and experiences that I can share with other people, but almost everybody I know in the community has that same experience. They've got their own unique set of learned lessons, their own unique set of wisdoms that if we can bring some of these people together to help share their expertise, be it in the medical, the sex, the social, the mental, I think we owe that to our generations of LGBT people coming up behind us to provide a role model, provide a source of wisdom. And all of us who are growing older have that ability to do that. We have the ability to mentor. We have the ability to be a parent figure. Because as we know, many people that are younger than us in their 20s and 30s coming up in the community, we don't always have the family to be connected with where we can ask dad or mom what to do about this, or an uncle, or we don't have these figures because not only are we not always close with our family, but in our current life where we're at, many of the older elders that would be there to have those conversations with have perished.
Right.
So that was a really long way of saying it's because I'm getting old and I feel lucky to be here having lived through the 80s and the 90s. And I feel it's incumbent upon me to help the people coming up behind me. And a lot of people my age feel the same way.
So help me understand a little bit, because you said you came out 10 years ago or so.
Yeah, I was actually, it's a long story and I don't want to get into the high detail of it
but
I was married and I have kids that are all grown adults now. I'm a grandparent. But even though I knew when I was a teenager that I was gay, I lived in a time and place where that wasn't going to work. And so I essentially tried to pray the gay away, and I met a girl, I fell in love, and we got married, we had kids. And so for 25 years, I did my best to be that. And it just, at the end of the day, we were a functioning family and we raised kids and we did all of those things, the White House, the picket fence and all of those. I wasn't being honest to myself. I wasn't being honest to my family. And I just came to a point where that wasn't working anymore. And it wasn't working not only for myself, but my spouse. And I finally had to come out. And so that was a whole novel and train wreck in and of itself, but I got through that and that's still a work in progress. But that essentially ended that life when I did come out. And so it was probably the worst and the best day of my life when that happened. And there's a lot of people that would describe their coming out day as that, whether it happens when they're a teenager, in their mid-20s, 30s, college, whenever, best and worst day, because it's the most difficult, maybe the day that has the most mental and soulful upheaval, but it set me free.
There's a rebirth of sense, and then in that there is some loss. Intentional or not, whether you want or not.
Absolutely. So that's that story, and there's a lot more to it, but no need to go that. Everyone's got their coming out story.
Right, but that,
I'm sure.
But that commonality that we share, regardless of when we experience it, I think people forget about that. I'll say, I think certain people forget about that when they start to turn on our own letters, and what I mean by that, the trans. When I see people that are not understanding a trans, I don't understand why they can't have the empathy. I know you went through this. I know you experienced what I experienced. Why can't you have some empathy to what they're going through?
And I feel so blessed that I have a lot of trans friends in my life that I never had before I came out. I had never really met a person who was trans. And when I came out, I went through a period of severe alcoholism and crashed and burned like a lot of people in that world do. And I found myself in the recovery community and I got sober a little over eight years ago. But in that process, in the recovery community, especially our local Phoenix LGBTQ plus recovery community, a lot of trans people there. And I got to know these people and become friends and come to love them. And they face very much the same issues that we did just as cis gay people, only on a much larger scale. They face it. A lot of them would tell you they had to come out twice. Maybe before they transitioned, they had to come out as gay. And then later, once they finally came to a point where they were ready and willing and wanted to go through the rest of their transition, and they did, then they had to come out again, not only to their family, but coworkers, old friends. And so they have it a lot worse in terms of the difficulty and the challenges
right.
than I think cis gay people ever did. And yeah, why would we make them feel like the other? Why would we make them feel like less? So I've gotten to a point where I've gone out of my way to understand. And when I don't understand, I pull one of my friends aside who are trans and I tell him, look, I'm just this old aging white guy. I right. don't necessarily understand. Would you be willing to share with me a little bit? And most of the time, if you're sincere, they will gladly open the window for you, help you to, or at least try to help you understand.
That's the key word.
They want to be understood.
Is being
they
sincere.
They want to be understood.
Right. You have to be yeah. sincere because there's too much insincerity out there right now.
Yeah. And saddening, of course, is also the social backdrop in which we find ourselves today.
Right.
We're in a regressive time. It's not. It is out and bold.
Right.
Regressive. And so all of the work and the rights and everything that's been won for our community is not only dissolving, but it's actually worse in a more, especially towards the trans community. It's heartbreaking to me what I see happening there. There's a lot of work to do in the future. We are going to have to rebuild. The pendulum swings. And I hope we have the opportunity to not only push back and regain what's been taken away in the last few years, but to help bring it to a more equitable level than we even had before.
Well, and something that we can sustain so that, because as the pendulum swings back our way, it is going to go back the other way. The thing is, when it goes back the other way, how do we get it like gay marriage? How do we get it so that it's at least at a point where they've accepted it? I can't believe I'm actually saying that. They did not take away gay marriage. So I feel that meant that even though the pendulum is way over here on the right, they weren't able to take certain things away from us. We need to be resilient when this pendulum swings back our way. We need to put things and build structures to keep those things in place so that doesn't happen again for what we rebuild back better.
And I don't know that we're ever going to get to a point where we convince all of the many people out there who are either afraid of us, who hate us, or some combination of both to change their ways or change their mind. But fear and lack of knowledge and lack of knowing people that are part of these different communities is one of the things, or the number of things, that really allows these groups of people to come to these ideologies of hate or otherism, I think. And I'm getting into the weeds, but I there's got to be a way to show the world that we're not out to get them.
Right.
We're not out to take their heterosexual rights away.
That's the whole point of what we are doing. Right. So I always say mainstream media only talks about us when something tragic happens or something bad happens. So we need to create our own media where we talk about the good stories. We talk about all the great things that we do and look at what we're building in the community so that other people can learn about it as well. And then say, oh, all they want is what everybody else wants. This is actually normal.
Yeah. My gay agenda is to come home at night from work, sit down and have dinner with my husband, make sure the bills are paid. Maybe we sit down and watch a television show together. Maybe we cuddle. Maybe we do more. But that's really nothing different than what a heterosexual couple would want for their life.
You're so radical, Sam.
I wave the flag proudly. So Growing Older Gay was originally started as a website. And there was going to be a YouTube channel there. Initially, I created a lot of just puff pieces, right? Just news stories about this, that, and the other, health, spirituality, travel, mm-hmm. products, that whole range of stuff. And last year, right after the inauguration, going into that new change that we're all facing, I did a series called Surviving Anti-LGBT Politics, which was not a podcast, but video series and some write-ups. And so I was creating a lot of content like that. But as the year went on, that's how the podcast started, doing a weekly show where it was just sitting down. And this is what happened this week. And these are some events. And so trying to keep it light without being, because people can get negativity and all of the happenings and the latest chaos from the news.
Right.
You can get that there. So my goal was to try to bring, with the podcast, The Kitchen Table, try to bring upcoming events, things to get excited about, maybe some victories in the world of the chaos. And if there was something that we really needed to look at and be concerned about, like the Supreme Court revisiting the idea of marriage equality, things like that. But I try to keep it positive. I try to put information out there people can use. And because I fall into the sex positivity realm, I try to talk about topics without getting into something YouTube's going to push me off of there for. But I try to get into those topics of PrEP, DoxyPEP, sexual health, some of the social angles of being sex positive, and try to normalize it, talk about health, things that we face. And my goal long-term is to get a lot more guests on than just Sam talking, because at some point my voice gets very annoying to people if it's just that. But I love having other people's voices and their opinions and their perspectives. So that's part of the long-term goal. But in the term of getting to the weekly podcast format on YouTube, we just in the last month started rolling that out to actual just audio only. And so now it can be found on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Substack, and eventually some of the others as well. So that's my first time doing that. And you and I have talked about that off in the other conversations.
Yes.
But it's a fun, it's media is always changing.
Right.
Right. It used to be magazines, newspapers, radio, then it was TV, now it's YouTube. No, even YouTube is not as the big thing anymore. It's other things. And podcasting right now is the big thing. And so whatever works to get the message out there and to get in front of people and to be of service is really the goal.
And what I would love to be able to do is take your audio podcast and add it to our stream as part of programming, because that's why we built a station, so that we have a place to talk the way we talk to each other and not have to worry about being censored or pulled by YouTube or other services or whatever. We can talk the way that we want to fucking talk.
I think that's a fabulous idea. You have my permission.
Excellent.
Let's do that. That's
yeah. Wonderful. All right. I'll put that in rotation. We'll work on that.
You can mostly do that.
Yeah. Awesome.
And going into the coming year, it's been almost every week without fail. And of course, when you're doing media like this, it's very important to make sure you're consistent.
Agreed.
You don't miss time. And I've done 40 out of 52 weeks this year. So
nice.
It'll get better next year. And as our latest episode on the podcast just spoke of, that went up today, in fact, we now have a brand new studio. We just went through a move, and I've got a dedicated space to do video and audio production. It's acoustically set up so that it's just going to be much better.
Awesome.
And I'm excited about it. And I just can't wait to get some guests in here and talk about sex, talk about health, talk about what's going on in our world. And while it's really not necessarily Phoenix community, there's a lot of Phoenix and regional content. We talked
right.
about the Eagle Cathedral City getting ready to open soon. And we talk about a lot of the events local, like Palm Springs Leather we just did last month, and those types of things. My husband and I love to talk about our event experiences. And with leather and that being one of our major areas of interest, there's a lot to talk about. And who's the latest title holder that just won something somewhere? How are they going to do it IML next May? That kind of thing.
I'm
trying to make it fun.
I would love to have a sports center type thing for all the different leather and pageants and all the things that are going on here in the city.
Wouldn't that be fun?
It would be
we
awesome.
We need to develop leather pundits.
Right.
Leather pundits.
Yes.
And if you watch our podcast on YouTube, you will see me wear a leather harness or a vest. Sometimes I get in my full dress leathers with my leather shirt and tie. I try to mix it up every week with something different. just to give people something to look at
right.
while I'm talking.
You're very lovely to look at, so it's all right. Shucks. Again, that's why I do radio.
Be nice.
Oh, so what's one fear that you had about aging that you had to unlearn?
I was always someone who was conscious of my body, right? And I'm certainly not alone in that. I was the heavy, overweight kid in school that was beat up and made fun of, not only because they thought I was gay, I wonder where they got that idea, but also because I was the chubby, overweight kid. And so in gym and all of that, and so all of my life, I was told that you need to change the way you look, that you don't look good enough, so on and so forth. And I spent most of my life weighing well over 300 pounds. It was wow. in the last decade or so that I was able to get healthy, lose weight, and be down under 200 pounds most of the time. So depending on the year, it was anywhere from 170 to 180 pounds. And that's roughly where I am now. But and get to the gym. And as I knew I was coming out, I went to the gym and tried to get more fit and all of that stuff. But even still, today, it's gotten much better since I've gotten married to a man that convinces me that I'm good looking. But he would tell me, don't worry, you look great. And I'd be like, sure, you have to tell me that. You're my husband. But when you're somebody who grows up in that situation and you've spent most of your life overweight or out of shape, you still see that when you look in the mirror, no matter how good looking you may be. And when people would say to me, oh, you look great, I would still look in the mirror and see that overweight, chubby kid from when I was 13 or 14. And I think a lot of people out there listening right now can probably identify. So I still fear that. But one of the things that has been very liberating is going to a lot of these events, taking my clothes off at a clothes optional resort, going to a sex party at Palm Springs Leather, for example, and finding out that everybody out there is my age too. There's plenty of people my age and older that are out there getting plenty.
Right.
And they're having fun. They're having joy. They're not worried about their body. And it's really helped me to have confidence. So my fear has been nobody's going to love me because I'm old and out of shape, where the reality is doesn't match that. In most cases, for many of us, most of what we fear, 90% of it is untrue or never happens. And so getting out and pushing through that fear helps us get confident to realize that, oh, it's just not like that. It's just not what's in my head. And it might just be still, but I've gotten to a point where I don't worry about it as much. And if anything now, I just worry about dying, leaving my poor husband destitute.
I know that feeling.
But we have life insurance, so.
I don't currently, you'll, with my current situation.
You'll be able to buy Kleenex.
So that's why I was like, oh.
I don't know if that answered your question.
It did. No, it did, because and it still sounds like, because the question was, what's one fear that you had to unlearn? But it feels like something that you're still unlearning. I know it's one that I deal with. Well, I was a little over 200 pounds and I was like, what am I doing? And I've always been a stick. So that's when I turned things around and I lost weight. And so I can relate to that to a certain degree. And I still see who I was when I was at my heaviest, even though that wasn't how I was when I was bullied and growing up. So that's the weird part about it.
Yeah, we tend to conflate these things in our mind and they just turn into that ball of angst and discomfort.
Right.
And it's easy to pull that up just like
that inner saboteur
on your browser. There's other things. I would say when I first came out, I was scared to death I was going to get HIV, yet I was not taking care of myself. I wasn't doing anything about that. And I eventually was able to get onto PrEP. And I learned the joy of not worrying about that at all and going into either a sex club or an event or just hooking up with people and just not even giving the thought at all to, is this person positive or negative or will I get HIV? And so we have wonderful things out there now that enable us to live happier, healthier, more free-spirited lives in the LGBTQ+ community versus 30 years ago. And so some of the fears that I had, just, oh gosh, am I ever going to find love? I guess I can. And some of that is, in my case, putting myself back together after being a mess in drugs and alcohol, I was able to become more marketable, so to speak, as a spouse. When you have your shit together, people right. like you more.
No, I understand what you mean.
To put it bluntly.
Right. And let me, if you don't mind me asking, were the drugs and alcohol before you came out, or was it from coming out and it was just so much? What was,
well,
because you said you were married and raised kids and everything. So I assume none of that was happening at that point.
So it's a long, long, long convoluted. When I was a teenager, I was drinking and using very heavily.
Okay.
In fact, I had two DUIs before I was 21, but I had gotten sober back at that time in the early 90s. And then at that time, I didn't have my head around my sexuality. So I'm sober. I'm putting my life back together. And the people I was around at that time said, if you beat alcohol and drugs, you can beat this gay thing. So we're going to pray the gay away. It's all going to be great.
Mm.
So
it got conflated really into that.
Up. Yeah, yeah. It really sounds screwed up now looking back on it. But that's where the time and the place where I was.
And so it always looks that way when you look back. But in the moment,
right.
It always makes sense. So otherwise, you wouldn't have done it.
When I met this gal, I got married. She was very young at the time and didn't understand what alcoholism was. And so it was very easy for me to backslide and go, I thought to myself, I beat this gay thing. I have a wife and a kid now. I guess it's okay for me to drink.
Oh.
And so I started drinking again, which turned out to not be such a great idea. But I just waded through that over the next couple of decades. And I was... She had basically got to a point where she realized that I was a raging mess when I drank. So she basically at some point early on said, you know what, you need to not do that or we're done. And so I wanted to stick around, take care of my family. So I managed to manage my alcoholism over all of that time. But when I came out and we got separated and I moved to town here in Phoenix and started hanging out at the clubs, I just drank all day, every day and used whatever was in front of me. And it only took about 6 months of that to completely crash my life into the ground because I'm that intense when I drink and use. It's just balls to the wall. So I don't judge people that drink and use drugs at all because there are people out there that can use it responsibility or who can do it with responsibility and control. They don't have the lack of control over it that some of us do. I'm one of those right. people. I just... You don't want to be around me. That's just the truth. I don't look out for my own safety. I don't look out for the safety of anyone around me. And I certainly don't worry about paying my bills. It was very short order that I found myself needing to just completely put a stop to all of that. But the great news is it didn't require me to go to church and repent and become a priest. I can still today be a very sex positive, kinky motherfucker. Pardon right. the language.
No, no.
I can go out and do a lot of things that people I still hear today would say, oh, I wish I could do that. You can. You just got to do it.
Right.
And as long as it's not hurting me mentally, physically, or spiritually, or whomever I'm doing something with in that same way, there's nothing wrong with it. It can be perfectly normal and safe and healthy. And so I live a pretty vibrant life. We do a lot of things in the community. We go to the clubs. It's fine for me to be at a bar where everyone's drinking and having a good time. I just don't do that. And
right.
we still have a good time just as much as everybody that's there. And so it doesn't require you to become a monk if
right.
you choose not to imbibe. That's really the
I am not a drinker. Occasionally, I may have a shot to take the edge off for karaoke, but I'm not someone who finds joy in drinking. So I don't do it.
Yeah.
So... I understand where you're coming from there as far as going balls to the walls. I've seen people and I know, and maybe that's part of why I don't have the appeal of it, is that I've seen how extreme it can get and I don't need that, if that
and,
makes sense.
You know, while the podcast isn't about sobriety or not, that does come up in our content from time to time because it is... something that affects the gay community at a higher percentage than it does the heteronormative community, because many of us in the gay community, because of all of the mental and spiritual challenges that we've had to delve through to get to adulthood, have found alcohol and drugs to be a helpful ally along the way.
Right.
And for some people that hasn't been a problem, right? But some of us find ourselves realizing that we don't have control of it. And many of us felt the need to medicate ourselves a little bit to feel confident and comfortable going to the clubs, not to be intimidated or to feel like that we were, that we belong there. And so that's how that starts for many people.
Right.
That was my case. I had to have a good buzz on before I felt like I belonged walking into the Anvil, for instance. And then I would drink until I was blacked out and I would never remember how I got home or how I got home with that person and who are they? Which, when you're 20 years old, people go, oh, they're just having fun. But when you're almost 50, people start looking at you funny when you're living life like that, right?
Right.
But what a lot of people that I talk to that know they may have a problem, and that's why it comes up in topic, is because I try to be helpful for other people that find themselves in the same position and trying to help them in the sense that don't worry, you don't have to give up life, happiness, and having fun just to get sober. Just because you get sober doesn't mean that you can no longer go out and have a vibrant life out there with the community.
Right.
It's entirely possible. It can be entirely healthy. It may take some work to get to that point, but it can be done.
And that's what I love about Ripple Phoenix, because that is a place, for the longest time, the only safe spaces we had were bars. Now that's changed. We have some more few safe spaces. We've got businesses and coffee shops and things like Ripple. So it's nice that we have alternatives. But for the longest time, that's all our community had was bars.
Right. And there's the Phoenix, which I hope I have the name correct. A couple of friends of mine are part of a chapter of people that do things that's not based around bars. And they do a lot of different events. I think one big event a month. And there are just a lot of things. And there's, if somebody is strictly wanting to be sober, there's the Lambda Phoenix Center on 16th Street, where somebody can go and take advantage of any number of recovery programs that have meetings and gatherings there on the daily. They're available at lambdaphx.org on the internet, and there's a schedule of everything they do, but they also do events every month that just bring people into the center, and it's a very vibrant community with hundreds of people going through there every day that are sober, and they're part of the LGBTQ plus community, men, women, trans. So there's a home for everybody, and at the very least, you can get to know a lot of other people who are in the community who are also sober, and they do hiking excursions once a month. They have a bingo thing once a month, and there's several other things that they do. And most of the time, it doesn't cost anything. So you don't have to, going out to the bar for a night costs a lot of money, even if you're drinking Red Bull.
Right.
And I can attest to that because that's my favorite drink these days. But you can spend just as much money drinking energy drinks as you can buying beer or whatever else.
That's why I have Shirley Temples.
Oh.
That's the secret.
That's so gay.
It is. And it looks like a drink. So people don't like, why are you drinking something? Hey, my little Indeed. Secret. I'm drinking grenadine.
I don't think I've ever tried one, to be honest with you. I don't think I've ever tried a Shirley Temple.
It's basically like cherry 7-Up.
Do I have to have my pinky up when I drink it?
Of course. If you're classy. So how do you personally handle ageism or invisibility in LGBTQ plus spaces?
I'll let you know when it starts happening to me.
Oh, okay.
And maybe it's happening to me and I don't know it. I am on the apps. I have a profile on Scruff, and I've been trying Sniffies out, although I haven't really been in it that heavily. But
weird.
I don't find myself being ignored there. And part of it is that I don't live on those things, so I'm not trying. I have a husband.
Right.
We do have an open relationship that where we are, each one of us can go out and hunt down our own conquests. But I don't feel that. And I did hear somebody say the other day that the apps are only as good as your spiritual condition, which tells me that if I think the apps suck and I'm being discriminated upon and nobody likes me, nobody this wouldn't, whatever, it might be that my expectations are out of line. And my expectations relative to my age, I recognize that if I go to one of the local clubs in town where you can meet up with people and go to a little room or a steam room or something like that, that all of those 20, 25-year-old guys that I see in the hallways, I recognize that they might not be looking to go meet up with me because I am old enough to be their dad or their grandfather. And I'm okay with that. A part of it is that I've accepted where I am and I recognize it. But there are plenty of people my age, or in the larger part, people like daddies right now.
Right. I was like, so daddy is in. That might be part of it too.
Daddies are in, and thank God for that, because right. That's where I'm at. And when young guys first started calling me daddy, I was horrified. I'm like, stop that. I'm not your dad. It freaked me out. And then I started to understand where they were coming from, and then I started to accept it. And so to answer your question, I have not felt, I accept ageism to some degree, but I've yet to have anyone say, oh no, you're too old, grandpa. I don't want anything to do with you. I've never heard that yet. Now I may. But I also don't force myself into situations which would prompt that.
Right.
And there's a way to navigate that. But so far, I rarely go to one of these places where you're going to meet a variety of people of different ages and body types where I've been turned away or I haven't left without getting my money's worth.
Right.
So I should be grateful for that. And I'll answer your question maybe in 5 or 10 years when I have a better answer.
Once it happens to you.
Yeah.
It was interesting because we go to, obviously, Palm Springs, and Club 541 is one of our favorite places to go. There's no hiding that. It's a sex club. Does not even pretend to be a bathhouse. There's no showers. There's no sauna. There's no steam room. It's literally toilets, places.
I want to go.
You didn't go?
We did not go when we were there. I've been to the Slammer, which is owned by the same guy in L.A.
Yes,
so I love the format.
But that is still like an actual bathhouse, though, right?
No, oh, actually, it's the same exact format as Club 541. It's
okay.
Just there's a couple of bathrooms and a washout sink, but there's no showers. There's no.
Do they have the ball scrubber, the ball cleaner?
Right. Yes. Yeah. And they have this, looks like a washout sink in a garage, but it has a cutout on the front of it so you can hang into it.
Right.
And the first thing I thought was, wow, they have a sink for this. Who knew it? And then I realized what it really was, one of those sinks that a salon has that they back a person and lay their head over to wash their hair out in. That's what the sink actually is. But they were using it for a male to use to clean himself off.
Oh, I'm going to have to look more carefully because I don't think that's what it is at Club 541, because I think it's too small for like your head. You know, it's like you just straddle it. Like this looks like it's designed for it.
How cool.
Right.
Yeah, we had so much sex during our weekend at Palm Springs Leather, and this is really where it's at. We were so tired of it by the day that we had planned to go to 541 that we just said, why don't we just stay in and take a nap? Life is pretty good, right?
Right. When that's what you're like, I've been there. I know exactly what you mean. That's one of the things we love about Palm Springs. And what I've learned is that Leather Pride needs to be on our annual trip now.
Agreed.
Because that was way, I love Folsom, don't get me wrong, but that was Leather Pride Weekend. Palm Springs was Leather Pride Weekend. Sorry, it's just the weekend. That was so much better than Folsom was for me. I think Folsom's great, but this was.
But to get back to the ageism question, and maybe this isn't ageism, but when part of the aging process is you get to a point, or at least I have gotten to a point where I know when I've had my fill of something, and I don't feel the need to keep pushing on and on. And so when I go to a sex club, when I go to a sex party, when I'm in Palm Springs for the weekend, I realize and I accept when I get to the point where I've had enough sex.
Right.
I don't need to keep going because I can. Yes, if I walk out in the hallway in this hotel, there's going to be doors open just 50 feet down. I can waltz right in there and have some more sex, but I've had enough.
Right.
And I'm okay to put it to...
I've had my fill. I have things to do.
And that's okay. If I were 30, even when I was 45, I had that drive to go, no, if it's here, I got to have every bit of it.
Because I guess, I don't know, maybe there was a point that I thought it would dry up. Like it would stop happening. And if I don't get it all now, then I won't get to experience all the things. And I've experienced more and the best things in the last few years than I have my entire life.
Here. And that's a great message for guys that are 30 that think their lives are over. And I hear that all the time. I really do.
Right.
From guys that are in their 30s. Oh, no, I'm going to be 40. It's all over with. I'm not going to be attractive anymore. I'm never going to find love. Blah, 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 blah. And I just laugh at them and shake my head and go, honey.
Right.
No.
There's so much more life to live that you haven't realized yet. And I am a divorcee as well. I was married to a man. I thought I was happy, but I wasn't. Same kind of story. But still gay. I wasn't happy with who I was, but I thought I was. Short version, 2019, I discovered grit and the community there, and that changed my life. That literally set me on a different trajectory. And
how about that?
Because that's how I met Brian, who's now my husband. It's also what brought me to Palm Springs that got me inspired to do everything that's happening today. Everything that's happened has happened in the last 4 years because I had stopped denying who I am and who I wanted to be because I found a community that would let me help accept that. And so I'm so grateful for it. And then, you know, this what happened this last year, how the community rallied around me for my heart attack. I'm like, oh, I owe this community needs all this stuff that I want to give them. So let's do it. So that's what we're doing. And that's why we're here.
And what you did is one of the best things we can do in our lives when we have a challenge like that is you made yourself vulnerable by sharing with everybody about it the way you did on the podcast. When I listened to that, it almost had me in tears because not only about what happened with that, but it was a moment that enabled a lot of people to totally, in myself included, I've done that. I've been in that position. I have put myself in front of that train where I could have had the same experience. And we all, many of us do that. And I'm referring to mixing substances
right.
or medications and
erectile dysfunction medicine with poppers.
Yeah.
Regardless of what that erectile dysfunction medicine is, whether it's pills, whether it's an injection, whether it's whatever, it's still erectile dysfunction. It's still doing a certain thing. And if you mix poppers with it, you could die. End of story. I got lucky.
Or at the very least, have a blackout and everyone thinks you're problematic.
Right. You're,
and nobody wants that.
No one wants to be the guy that blacked out at the bathhouse or at the party or at the.
Exactly.
Because then they think you don't have any kind of control.
But you made yourself vulnerable in that way. You shared that. And that takes a lot of guts, but it also reaps big rewards. And not only, and that's what I like to try to do when I have the opportunity. I don't put my entire life out there, every little detail, but when there's something where I've learned a lesson or I've had an experience that sharing that can help other people either avoid that fate or how to get through their own situation, that's being of service to our fellow man.
Right.
And that is back to the very beginning of why I wanted to do this was because I know a lot about cars. I've spent a lot of time around them. If somebody says, what's the best X, Y, or Z for this thing or that, I can help them figure out what a good car for them to buy is. I can tell them what's good or bad about just about any car I've had experience with. But to me, that isn't, I want to do more than that for my fellow man. Let me just put it like that. And so these are things that can truly touch lives and build a fellowship of people around me that I care about and love, and they can take those things and do that in their own lives as well.
Along those lines, what's advice you would give someone who feels it's too late to start living fully?
We only live once. If you haven't started living fully yet, better get on it. And there's no reason not to. With the caveat that, yes, there are folks out there, and I have friends that have debilitating health issues that limit their ability to get out, to do things, and to have the type of vibrancy that it's really easy to just say, it's all in your head. It's about attitude. You just got to get out there, put yourself out there and do it. I recognize that there are people that have physical conditions that keep them from being able to do certain things. Men who have had prostate cancer, for example, who have had types of treatment, cannot be 100% sexually functional in some ways, but they can still have spiritual joy. They can still build relationships. They can have some of the most satisfying experiences in social ways. There's a lot of ways to compensate for whatever impediment that we may have in our own physical, mental, or spiritual life. There's a way to compensate. And so I do hear a lot of people say, I can't do that because of X, Y, or Z. And they may be correct. But okay, what can you do? Your life is wrecked financially because of whatever happened. You're not rich anymore. I've been there, done that. I was a millionaire once. It was wonderful, but I'm not now. And I'm happier than I've ever been. And it's because I realized money wasn't important. You got to pay the bills, but
right.
It doesn't make you happy. Life lesson. And those are things that somebody that's 30, maybe they haven't learned that one yet, but
Well, and it's hard. It's really hard to tell someone who's never had $1 million or had those experiences that's not happiness. It seems so foreign because it seems like, but things would be so much easier is what people think, but they don't realize that comes with a heavy price as well to have and manage and do and responsibilities.
It's not to say it isn't fun to have money.
Sure.
You go buy whatever you want.
Right.
But ultimately, when you're laying in bed at night and you want to go to sleep, does it shut off the committee in your head that's got you worried and restless and anxious and uptight? No, it doesn't.
Right.
And for me, the most valuable thing that I've been able to achieve in my life is peace, mental and spiritual peace, in the sense that there's rarely a day where I feel like life's over, that it's the end, that I can't bounce back from whatever it is. And part of that's through getting through some pretty big challenges and realizing that anything can be gotten through if you use some good tools to do it, if you make yourself vulnerable, like we talked about, and let other people help you that can, and be willing to ride through some uncomfortable stuff.
Right.
Because once you get to the other side, you're not only stronger for it, but you worry less about that happening again, and you realize that you can get through it.
Agreed.
And that's pretty much it.
Yeah. With my recent corporate shift of duties to none, it was easy to because when I told my husband, he's like, why aren't you freaking out? I'm like, I didn't wake up hooked up to a bunch of machines and I'm breathing. So let's do something else then instead.
And you know what that's like. You have done that.
Yeah.
So that's not happening. That's good.
Right. This is just another hurdle at this point.
I'll sell the Cadillac.
Right.
Whatever.
Right. We'll make do. We'll figure it out. We'll launch a radio station. That's what I did.
Why not?
So where can listeners follow and support you online, Sam?
So you can search Growing Older Gay, all one word, pretty much anywhere on the internet. All four food groups of social media, that being Facebook, Instagram, Threads, or Blue Sky. I don't do the X for reasons. I just don't do that.
Yay!
I'm too good for X. You can find that on YouTube. And you can just go to growingoldergay.com. That's the home website that's got all kinds of stuff. It's got all of the podcasts and content, but there's also a resources page with links to God knows what. There's an events calendar for as many of the different events around the United States that I can find, and some international ones, but I tend to lean pretty heavily on the leather stuff and some of the big bear events because that's really where my affinities lie. And so
that's why we get along so well.
We see. But yeah, social media will always point you to the website or the YouTube channel. The YouTube will cover everything else, but Growing Older Gay, all one word. If you search that on the internet, you'll find it one way or the other.
Awesome. Sam, thank you so very much for doing this. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Billy, for letting me come on and do it.
Another reason we love this community.
I'm Daddy Dave, your friend in the fight to end stigma. And I'm the founder of Team Friendly, here today to talk about DoxyPep. Are you hooking up, living your best life? Keep it hot and healthy with DoxyPep, a little pill that helps protect you against STIs after sex. DoxyPep. Doxy is short for doxycycline, and PEP is an abbreviation of post-exposure prophylaxis, meaning taking a pill after sex. You've probably heard of PrEP, which is pre-exposure prophylaxis. That's taking meds before being exposed to HIV. But DoxyPep goes like this. Take one doxycycline dose soon after sex, for sure within 72 hours. This helps prevent bacterial infections such as syphilis, chlamydia, and gonorrhea. If doxycycline sounds familiar to you, yes, it also treats STDs. Ask your provider if DoxyPep is right for you. And if your provider doesn't know about DoxyPep, inform them. Or find a provider that meets your full sexual health needs. Live your best life with DoxyPep.
Pride lives here.
And since you've made it all the way to the end of the episode, thank you. Truly, we don't take it lightly that you're spending your time with us.
this podcast and the station behind it exist because you keep listening, you keep sharing, and you keep showing up for this community. And because you did make it to the end, we've got a little special sneak peek for you. You've heard us talk about the parties. You've seen the photos that we've taken, and I'm sure you've heard the stories. Now, there's an opportunity for you to find out for yourself. We've partnered with IBC, the International Bear Convergence, to give away weekend run passes. Now, you're still going to need to get yourself there and book a hotel, but we've got your passes covered. We'll be sharing all the details on how to win on the GayPHX stream, so make sure you're tuned in. And remember, GayPHX is streaming 24/7 on TuneIn, Radio Garden, MyTuner, Radio.net, and of course at GayPHX.com, with music from the community, interviews, and voices you won't hear anywhere else. Each week, we're working to add more artists, more stories, and more ways for you to stay connected. From me, Billy, and my husband Brian, and the entire GayPHX crew, thank you for listening, thank you for your support, and thank you for being a part of this community. We love you, and we'll see you next week. Together, the sun is bright, and there's nowhere better than by your side.
Thanks for hanging out with the Gay PHX podcast.
Be kind.
Be bold.
Be you.